Heard a snippet of the new single, The Love I Like, by country singer-songwriter and producer Dustin Bird. Continuing to share his unique style of modern country, the artist, producer, and songwriter Dustin Bird returns with the release of his new single from his Love Trilogy, The Love I Like. A different perspective of two people who understand one another, a special love where either partner doesn't need to say a word. They just get each other. The Love I Like is the follow-up single to the high-energy country anthem Heart of It that was released by Open Road Recordings. The track features Dustin's distinctive vocal tone atop of an irresistible upbeat banjo pop soundscape. Heart of It speaks to the point in every relationship that has become routine. Do you go on with the status quo, or do you lean into an honest conversation and an assessment of where you are truly at? Do you glide along the surface, or do you go into the heart of it? These songs are all a part of the Love Trilogy. Here to talk about his new single and more new music on the way is country artist, singer-songwriter, and producer Dustin Bird. Hi, Dustin. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Good. It is so great to have you back, Dustin. It is so good. Every time you're on the show, we enjoy and learn so much from you.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I appreciate that. I don't know if I have a lot of real insight as much as I think I just make stuff up and then it sounds kind of like I know what I'm talking about.
When we spoke to you last time, it is so incredible the challenge that you're giving the music industry right now. And I love that about you, what you're doing with this genre.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I love country music. You know, and this is just the way that I kind of express through that medium, you know, with these songs and stuff. And I like to do this too with like the artists that I'm working with on the production side, you know, just kind of like get to the heart of who they really are and who I really am as an artist, and just, you know, allow that to be like the foot forward. You know, country music, like, especially now, is so diverse, right? Like hot country or any of the playlists you might listen to, like, there's like no two songs back to back that are going to be really the same. And I think that's really cool, because that lends itself to like artistic exploration and expression. It means that you don't need to conform to this sort of singular unified identity coming out of Nashville or Canadian country or whatever, but you can sort of just pull from what you love about country music and let that kind of liberate you in terms of being able to express yourself. And that's how I like to, you know, I think of country music as being a liberating medium, because I get to play with so many sounds that I love and all that, and I get to tell stories within the music. But yeah, you know, I look at it like, how do I be as expressive as possible?
And you've done that with your influences from pop. You definitely can hear that. And your R&B that you love too. Those are influences that have been in your life, in your musical journey. And you can definitely hear that in the music. This is such a unique chapter for you. And
it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, it's unique in a lot of ways, I think, because I mean, one, it's just I haven't heard stuff like this before, you know. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff that I'm making is just, it's just me, you know. So that is just unique in and of itself.
Just crossing the borders and the countries that you are right now, and mm-hmm. just seeing the reflection of what fans feel in mm-hmm. different countries now with you, and the groundbreaking, pushing those boundaries in this genre. It is just pretty incredible to see all the live streaming platforms loving your music. That's got to feel pretty cool with this whole new listening audience that has really gravitated to your music.
Yeah, it has. I mean, we've connected with, you know, a lot of new people on TikTok recently with Hating on Love, and mm-hmm. with this new demo that we put up called Canadian Made, which is just a super fun banger that I've been working on. And, you know, like, I love that because I just get to, you know, talk to them there and just mm-hmm. engage with them. And it's just like, it's just the community that we're building, you know.
Mm-hmm. Such a great platform, isn't it? To really be expressive.
That, it is. Mm-hmm. For that, it is. I mean, it can be horrible for your mental health and a real mess, you know, both as a creator and as a consumer. I mean, there's definitely a lot of downsides. It's not mm-hmm. it's not all flowers, but the ability to connect with people, nothing beats it. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, and so, you know, you kind of take the good with the bad on that. And it's something too that, like, for a long time I just wasn't really into, because I'm like, I like watching videos and things like that on TikTok and all that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, making the content, I was like, I'm just kind of like, I don't really know how to do this in a way that's not super boring and kind of cringy and just, you know, just like this standard, like, hey, I'm showing my friend my song for the first time in the car kind of thing, or like whatever it is. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't want to do that. Like, that's not, but I, at the same time, was trying to figure out, okay, well, if I'm not going to do that, then what am I going to do? And so I tried all kinds of different stuff. I tried, like, different ways of doing songs, different ways of, like, covering songs, tried, you know, mm-hmm. Exploring production stuff more, like, all kinds of different things that just felt, you know, like I was inching closer to being able to be authentic mm-hmm. and still, like, you know, still consistently generate content. Because I think, like, you know, it's one thing to be authentic in the moment, it's another thing to do that consistently and kind of on a schedule to an extent.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I know what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, well, I could just, you know, follow trends and whatever, but that's just not me. That doesn't feel good to me. Mm-hmm. And so my brother and I really kind of brainstormed that a lot and explored different things, and really it just came down to just performing the songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, which seems so simple. And now the way that we kind of, we're really thoughtful about how we do it and how we approach each song and stuff. Mm-hmm. But being able to do it, you know, with him was really game changing. If you're trying to create content on your own, I get it. It's painful. It's annoying.
It is so true.
You know?
I feel your pain on that one. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you set the camera up to try and get the lighting right, you know, and then you look back at it, and you're like, oh, I don't like the way I looked here. Like, I didn't sound right here. But, you know, okay, I'm getting. And I'd shoot like 30 TikToks before I got to like one that was like good. And I'm like,
so that's you. That's you, yeah. Though, right?
That's quality. That's, I tend to be like a, you know, very self-critical and stuff, and mm-hmm. and so you know, shooting with my brother,
it's lighthearted, feels better.
It's so easy. Cause I mean, he knows, like, I just trust him. I trust his eye. Mm-hmm. I trust his vision for stuff. And so, like, we'll, he'll be like, okay, here's kind of our, like, we'll outline like a shooting schedule for like mm-hmm. the week of whatever we want to put up. And we can hammer that out in like 3-4 hours.
Nice.
And doing that is so, because all I got to do is be in front of the camera and do what I normally do. And because I'm not, I don't really usually ask for like review stuff unless you're like, Hey, just let me like double check something on this. But the not reviewing the footage in the process is huge.
It's game changing.
It is. And
it is so game changing. Yeah.
He'll send me something on the day, like to post. I'll be like, yeah, cool. Okay, great. I'll put it up.
Because you want it raw and natural, right? You don't want anything staged. You want to be able to just do it. And that's what makes it more fun. And I think you'll probably get used to that as you go.
Right.
And do it a little bit more. It'll become easier where it's just not, because you're so used to being in the studio. Mm-hmm. You're so used to setting things up a certain way. You know what you're looking for. You're on every single thing. That's your creative side to you. But now it's about just letting loose and just enjoying the music. That's all everybody wants to see. It's just you playing.
I think that's totally right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's fun, like just being able to do it, because I like performing. I like, I don't like doing it when it feels super contrived.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I guess it's somewhat comparable to acting in a sense. I mean, I can't act the same, but it's like, I guess
you
it's
and
somewhat
me both.
Comparable to what I've heard like actors talk about, because you're kind of like in that moment. I mean, especially, because we might shoot we'll shoot a Hating on Love thing, and then 5 minutes later we're shooting Canadian Made, and then we're doing Heart of It, and then we're doing whatever, and they're all really different things. It's the same thing with being on stage, right? It's going from song to song. And what I love about that kind of performance is when you're on stage, you create this narrative within the show, and it really flows. But this stuff, it's, you don't really have that. You just kind of have a breathing room in between. And jumping from thing to thing, it's like jumping from scene to scene, sort of, and you're kind of like
reset.
I'm embodying
the music,
the identity of the song. Yeah, I'm embodying like the emotion of that piece in that moment, and that is like really rewarding, because it's sort of like a switch. It's like, okay, we're rolling, and then it's like, okay, go. And I think that's super fun, because it's just. It's sort of a, I know how it feels in my body. Like there's like a physical sensation when you lock into a performance.
Because you're bringing that feeling of the lyrics to life.
Yeah. And it's really like on stage, when I lock into that, I can like shift a room, right? And that's
100%.
And you can feel that. And so what I found with, doing TikToks before, was I just didn't feel that. I was just setting up my phone and singing for me. And I think having, my brother there on the other end of the camera too, lends to that to an extent, because it's just, it's another human being.
Well, it's like you performing to somebody instead of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that, I'm performing to the camera, not performing to the people on the other side of their phones. But at the same time, just, having that person there, I think, is super helpful, because because we'll be chatting whatever and like joking about something, and then we're doing Hating on Love thing. It's like, okay, go. And it, when I pull myself in, like, it's a really, because I mean, that's like a dark song, and it's
very
about like a lot of
very important
it's about like human struggle. And so it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like happy or whatever, but you know what you have to do
when you're singing stuff like that, or you're going on to TikTok, it's just like you sitting down. Just pretend like you're sitting in a songwriting session and somebody throws out a title, and just say, you just have to be saying like, what do you think of this? I was thinking of putting these words together, and play a couple strums, and just, it's just doing a couple chords, and then saying like, let me know what you think of this. Do little clips. You don't have to do the whole song, right? And that's what a lot of the artists do, is just like, I've been working on something. What do you think about this? Should I record it? And just do, little bits here and there. You don't have to do the whole song.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a good, relationship builder, I think, with people, and just kind of get people involved. I mean, TikTok is, I think, with artists too, generally a super like, it's not a very genuine space, right? I'll just say, like, it's not like, I mean, if an artist is sharing a new song, even if it's, you know, just like, odds are that song is in final production. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like the reality of, you know, you'll be like, oh man, like, you know, you should finish it. It's like the song's done. Mm-hmm. Like, they wouldn't be posting it. I mean, and, you know, I'm sure some mm-hmm. people, but the song is done. And so there is like a sense of, there is sort of a sense of like, it's performative. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and that's okay, just so long as it's still genuine. It's not like, hey, like, how should I write this second verse and the second verse is already done? or like, hey, like, you know, what, like, I think that side of it is...
Well, just asking people what they feel, you know, when they're hearing the lyrics, then you're hearing their input. You're not asking them to change anything or you change anything, but just asking, what do you get from the song? Like, you know, it's just hearing.
Totally. People are really responsive to that stuff. And I mean, what's been cool with the songs is like, you know, how people... will duet the videos or stitch them or use the sound or something to create their own stuff.
Yeah,
because I, you know, I just love that. I mean, we saw that.
I do too. That's my favorite part.
It's great, isn't it? And we saw that with Cowboy.
People
with
create Cowboy dances Stay. To everything. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And on Cowboy Stay, that was the first time that we really saw people do that. And you know, they were with their boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever, and it was just kind of like this little love story, you know, you can make mm-hmm. Cowboy Stay. And they, you know, they were painting all these
Cowboy Go or Cowboy Stay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're painting all these really cool images, you know, within these videos. And I really loved that. I thought it was a cool way for people to connect with the music. And I'd seen it before. I just, you know, never saw it on one of my songs. So I thought that was really rewarding. Mm-hmm. And then with Hating on Love, that happened even more. I mean, just so many like really, really like intense feelings people get out of that song.
Huge.
And you can see that like well, it's not
very,
a
very brave song, and like we've seen in this industry, you know, in so many different ways where this subject matter has come up and songs have been pulled, you know, due to that.
Yeah.
And you've taken that emotive, that feeling for the listeners into the lyrics, the stories that you've heard. And I would imagine felt, you know, this was something that really needed to be talked about because this was a part of your love trilogy, you know, that you had released. Tell us a little bit more about writing this one, because that was the first song that we were going to be playing and as a part of this, because you started off with Get Go. Right?
Yeah.
You started off with that one, then Cowboy Stay, which is what we've just talked about. But Hating on Love is about celebrating all kinds of love, no matter who it's with.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the reasons why you felt that you really needed to write this one.
Well, it just kind of, I mean, it didn't just happen, but it kind of just happened in a weird way. Like, I've been talking with a lot of people. I don't know how all this kind of happened around the same time, but I just... been hearing like a lot of stories from like friends and just, you know, people I knew who had dealt with like coming out. And I don't know, I feel like I heard, you know, like four or five of these like separate things that had opened my eyes probably from like the summer of, you know, 2021 up till like December, I think, when I wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard these stories. And Because before that, I hadn't really thought it was a problem. I just thought, like it's 2021. Like, you know, it's fine. Like, this isn't a problem anymore. People can come out. Everyone's going to accept them. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept hearing this stuff. I'm like, so that's not the case. And when I was in Nashville in, like, November, and I was, like, thinking about it for myself, too. I'm like, could I be somewhere, like, you know, on the spectrum of sexuality, like not 100% straight, just like, is that possible for me?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because, you know, I think everyone should like be open to those, asking those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of opened myself up to that. And I'm like, I thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, I don't think so. I don't think that's where it's at for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's okay. So like, learn that, you know, but what I learned through that, it's kind of just looking at it, like taking a good look at it, was, oh man, if I was to like not be 100% straight and feel the need to come out, that would be
being authentic.
Well, it would just be so annoying to have to do that in country music, because it's like, gosh dang, okay, now I have to have this whole other, in it. Like it's so
it's difficult.
It's so identifying. It's true. You know, and it's like it shouldn't be, right? It should just be like, oh, okay, well, this, you know, whatever. But as soon as I looked at it, you know, from these stories, and I looked at it like for myself, and I was like, huh. So I don't know. I just kind of walked away from that experience and just like learned about it, whatever, and didn't forget about it, but it was just kind of there.
Yeah.
And then I one night I just started telling that story. I think I just wrote the first verse, like, he's a farm raised half son of God, they told him. And I just started writing that stuff, like, based on these stories, and then pulling from, like, you know, what that would actually kind of have to feel like, just sort of imagining myself in that situation. Mm-hmm. And then the song came out, and I just wrote it that night. And wow. I did up like a piano demo for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it over, and I wasn't sure, like, you know, because generally they've been super supportive of me just like creating and doing what I want. I mean, like, I don't know any other record company to do that. Like, I mean, I can you know, sit there and produce something wild, and they'd be like, yeah, this is dope. And they're like, okay. And they're like, no, we don't know what we're gonna do with this yet, but this is great, you know. And so
Open Road Recordings is pretty cool. They are so behind every one of their artists. Yeah, it's a great team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do support like cool projects, fresh projects, and artist authenticity. I mean, that's like we have a lot of conversations about that. Like, is this authentic to you? Like, is this, you know, mm-hmm. So it's super important. But when I sent over the Hitting on Love thing, like, I was pretty sure they were going to go for it, but I wasn't 100% sure. Because I'm like, well, maybe they think it's too much. Mm. Maybe it's like, maybe they think it's like, that's just career ending, you know, or something. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's these thoughts, right?
But, mm-hmm. Like, for sure. Well, you've seen it. You've seen what's happened with previous releases. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I talked to some friends in Nashville, like pretty like high level, like, you know, industry people and stuff. After we had decided that we were going to put this song out, and he was like, yeah, I mean, you can do it. But like, a lot of people have tried in the past,
mm-hmm.
and maybe now's a better time. But, you know, they're like, I think it's a better time. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, artists have tried this, and like, these are not projects I've heard,
mm-hmm.
right? Which mm-hmm. which makes sense, obviously, if it's been failed.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like people have tried it. People have tried to put themselves out there in different ways. Maybe the songs weren't there. You know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it just wasn't the right way to communicate it. Maybe it was the wrong time. Could have been a combination of things. I don't know. But, you know, I was being told on this, and I was like, yeah, okay, well, we're going to put it out anyways. I think people are, I think, like, I need, like, the label fell in love with it. I mean,
well, there's so many different stories that you can attach to this.
Yeah.
And it's not just one way. I think it's about every aspect about love, young and old, and, yeah. you know, the color of our skin, all of the things that we go through, you know, when it comes to what the heart feels and wants, and not being dictated to that way. Mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely. I mean, love is love, right?
That's
kind of, you know, like, I mean, it's just, it doesn't do.
The world just, you know, needs to love. The world just needs to love.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, honestly, like, I see it in the comments all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of, now, I think it's easier to see hate than it is to see positive stuff. You
sure
get one
is.
Hate comment, it's going to beat all 40 positive comments. Yeah. But
you're evoking a response, to people.
I mean,
and that's what the song does. And it's just, it's creating that conversation, which is what we have to have. And that's why I wanted to use this platform again today, to be able to play this music, because it is such an important song for you. It's a really big release for you, and I'm really proud of you, you know, for finding the inspiration to write this one. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Hating on Love by award-winning singer-songwriter Dustin Bird here on Music's Journey.
He's a farm-raised tough son of God, they told him. So he sang praise up every Sunday morning. By 13, he knew there was more there for him. But that sound would have ruined him for it. His head fought his heart behind a broken smile. And the whiskey and weed helped for a little while. But by 17, it was time to get going. So he gave his folks a fair warning. Said, if God's gonna hate me for who I love, then I guess God ain't who I thought he was. But I can't stay here quiet as you. says girls, I don't need saving, I can't change it. Maybe you'll never see where I'm coming from, but it's been long enough. Tell me why we're still hating on love. She's a homegrown daughter of the Bible Belt, one right way of living down the rural routes. 15 and learning how to lie to herself, knew no good to come from coming out. Head fought her heart behind a God-fearing smile, and the pills and cuts helped for a little while. But by 18, it was dire as hell. She stopped hiding the car she was dealt. She said, if God's gonna hate me for who I love, then I guess God ain't who I thought she was. And if you're waiting on a baby, there's plenty waiting on someone to love him like Jesus does. I don't need saving, I can't change it. If God's gonna hate us for who we love, then I guess God ain't who we thought he was. But we can't stay here, darling, as you judge us, acting like you see us like Jesus does. We don't need saving, we can't change it. Or maybe you'll never see where we're coming from, but enough is enough. Tell me why we still hating on love. Cause God ain't hating no love.
That was Hating on Love by my very special guest award-winning country artist, Dustin Bird. This was one of the love songs that you had a part of the trilogy. Like you said, it wasn't planned. This came about organically. Yeah. What has been one of the more inspiring stories that you've heard from the release of the song?
No, I don't want to share like people's specific stories.
Nope.
I mean, I think, you know, because those are for them, I think, to mm-hmm. tell. And I think mm-hmm. I think the stories in the song, like the first verse is from a male perspective. You know, he's a farm raised tough son of God, and it like, I mean, I think I really tried to put like a lot of different stories together to create these ones that just felt like really, really both potent.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. Getting the message strong enough, but yet gentle
but
enough.
Not yeah but yeah. not being like so mm-hmm. so like particular, like, you know, it was like 1984 and on this street of, you know, it's like,
I hear you.
So there's yeah. you know, there's stuff like that, but I mean they're pretty direct and mm-hmm. they're intense, and those, and like, that's true. I mean, like the whiskey and weed, the pills and cuts, like that sort of, I mean that stuff, like radio probably didn't touch on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, radio probably didn't touch on this song anyways. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, you know, so this is one of those things where it's like, look, like this is just got to be told.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to, again, like you're saying, it starts the conversation and allow people to share their specific stories if they're open to that, if they want to share it, because I want to mm-hmm. give them the, like a reason to share it, sort of like, hey, like this is, you know, coming from somebody who hasn't experienced this,
mm-hmm.
you know, for myself.
But you're inspired, and it's such an important message to be able to say, you know what, I see you, I hear you.
Yeah, totally.
And, yeah. you know, yeah. I'm here, you know, it's just, we need to be here and loving one another. And I think that's the biggest message here. And
that's
it just,
great. Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows that we have so much more growing to do. And maybe one day, in the music industry, you know, the song may help pave the way that we don't yeah. need to write these kinds of songs, right?
Well, that's exactly what I thought too when I wrote mm-hmm. it. I'm like, how has nobody written this before? I mean, because I was like, this is an easy hook. That's like mm-hmm. that was what I thought. I was like, the Hating on Love. I'm like, this is how is nobody? I'm like, I guess I didn't think of it before either. I'm like, how has nobody written this song? I'm like,
I know,
like it's. You know, it's just like, this is wild. And then that idea that like we shouldn't need to have these songs, because mm-hmm. it felt to me for a moment, and that was something, because with songs and, you know, releases, there's a huge gap between writing something and putting it out. There's a lot of times I have stuff. Mm-hmm. And in that, I was like, does this need to be said? Like those thoughts still went through my mind. I kind of had to pull back to like where the story, you know, the stories and the, mm-hmm. and the feeling of it and all that. But there's really like that, of like, why does this need to still be like said?
I know.
You know, I'm like, it's not, you know,
we've grown, but we haven't grown as much as we think we have. Yeah.
You know, cause I think back to like, whatever, you know, I know about like the Ellen thing in the early 90s or like other artists back then and the, mm-hmm. you know, the 80s and 90s and that sort of thing. And I'm like, yeah, we moved way past that. Mm-hmm. But like, have we? Has the whole country? Has all of America? No. And so, you know, I mentioned the Bible Belt in that song. And I think that particular, you know, mm-hmm. part of America.
That's a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot different from LA or New York. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing, like, you know, Toronto and Vancouver are a lot different from Saskatchewan, you know.
Well, look at the shows like The Voice and American Idol that are celebrating that kind of love. And that's what I think is, you know, if we all can just continue to follow, we're opening our hearts and we're opening our minds and we don't have to agree. And I think that's what everybody just needs to understand. We may not need to agree and we don't need to agree. And we don't need to live life the same as you're seeing someone else. You just need to be you.
Well, that's, yeah, it's a thing.
That's it. Just be you. And that's, I think, the message here. Yeah.
It's tough to, to get in touch with your authentic self. I think mm-hmm. as an artist.
I was going to say for you, like, you know, because you came on the scene and it's just like, you've got so much darn talent. And
thank you.
You've got so many hats that you wear. Was it hard for you to find your own identity as an artist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's hard for everybody. Like, and especially, too, it's like I'm producing stuff. So, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think...
Very good at it.
Yeah, I mean, like if you're an artist and you have a great producer that you're working with, mm-hmm. that producer can guide you and give you a lot to lean on so that you can just, you know, you can explore your voice through them, you can explore song selection through them, you can explore like a sort of a sonic palette with them, mm-hmm. and you know, with musicians in the room and all that sort of stuff, and that collaborative experience is massively beneficial, especially for new artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really did a lot of that, you know. I tried it a little bit with various producers and varying degrees of success within that, but I was always just like, I just want to make the sounds. And I had a vision for what that should be for mm-hmm. whatever. But in doing that, you know, it's because it's like, I mean, if I have a song or if I had a song I really loved or whatever, I'd be like, oh, I want to do that. I want to work. I want to make that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you getting into the process and you're like, well, should it be this type of guitar or this type? Like, what is, you know, or should I sing it like this or should I sing it like this?
That's your creative side is amazing. It's amazing.
No, it's just all these identity questions is what kind of comes up. And that's a whole, I mean, gosh dang, that's a can of worms to explore for new artists and trying to figure out, because there, you don't really have one singular identity that's like, everybody is super diverse within themselves, like in terms of what, like, I mean, you could do a metal record and have it be authentic, and you can mm-hmm. do a country record and have it be authentic. That's what Harvey's done, right?
Exactly. Like, that's a great example. Yeah.
So it's really, you know, you can be authentic in
do both.
A variety of ways. Mm-hmm. And
well,
you know,
I think that's what I think with your idea of going into creative sounds and things like that, and yeah. you're talking about the production and working with other producers, it's just you had an idea of who you are. And that was the start of it. And until you can go and explore and challenge yourself and go through experiences,
mm-hmm.
that's what it takes to find, oh, okay, this is what I've been looking for. Until you continue and just keep trying and moving forward and trying and moving forward, you'll know.
Oh, and it never stops.
Yeah.
It never
stops. It's always evolving.
It's always evolving. Process for me, as like unique as it is every time, because it's always evolving, it's predictable in terms of the kind of I guess the way that feels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's an explosion of creativity at the beginning. It's like, let me try all the different things and all the stuff in here and try it, and then there'll be a point where I'm like, okay, so I've built this up, it could be completely wrong. Mm-hmm. The whole kind of foundation of this could be way off. Try different stuff, you know, whatever, or find that it's, you know, that it is the right path for that piece. And then there's sort of like the vocal side, the delivery side. Okay, deal with that. And then there's all the nuances of sound selection and the color of the piece and how it's all going to kind of come together. Like, what is that, you know, the identity of the piece? Because I mean, you only listen to the thing. You don't listen to like all the individual elements and all that. And so all those things that can kind of pull you in different directions and I can overthink about, all that just needs to come together to one unified thing that does a job, that communicates something, feeling.
Well, look what you did with Brian John Hartwood.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I'm thinking about that song and listening to all the sounds that you incorporated when you were producing his song, it just was so cool because you studied what he loved, what he's all about, and, you know, the beach vibes and the colors, everything were incorporated into the song that you worked on with him. That's what you're talking about.
He's been a fun project, and it's a good example, you know, because I've gotten to know him real well since we started work together a few years ago, and that it's like, it's just that, it's just learning, who is he? Like, really at the core, you know, because he was, when we first started working together, I want it to be, you know, maybe a little bit more pop country. I want it to, you know, some beach vibes, color. It's like, oh, that's cool. That's like the most surface level stuff, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, and you can build a record off of that. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, you can totally build a record off of that and a couple references of people. You're like, you got yourself something that sounds good. But really digging into, like, okay, well, but who are you, like, really in this moment in your life, and what's important to you, and what do you want to say right now, and how do we say that in a way that's like
different,
you,
that current. Isn't
that isn't derivative off of something else, or, or isn't, you know, like, oh, I think this guy's cool, so I want to do that. It's like, no, okay, how do we, like, really, you know, because I
build,
I think,
on,
like,
his brand.
Well, build on who he is. Just, you know, it's not even a brand. It's just who he is as a guy. Mm-hmm. And that's so important because that's rewarding. Like, you know, we're going to have, like every artist has, ebbs and flows in a career. There's going to be moments where you're going to have all the love and support in the world. And then there's going to be moments where nobody cares about your song. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that's just what it is. And so if you're,
that's why you got to write for what you love.
You do, because gosh dang, I mean, if you're chasing that, you know, radio player, you're chasing
something else.
You know, then you're gonna be disappointed at some point. You're gonna be disheartened. You're gonna be confused, and you got two options: either you keep sort of pandering, more or less, or you just dig into what feels best for you, and that is hard. Like it's not like the flip of a switch that you can just, okay, I'm gonna make things. What's me now? It's like, you got to figure that out. You got to massage that and explore it. And it takes time and effort.
Practice,
and it takes humility. Yeah. It takes a lot of humility. You got to be willing to just, like,
that vulnerable side. Yeah.
You got to be vulnerable and just open. I mean, especially too, like, with, you know, like with things like TikTok and stuff that we're talking about. Like, I mean, that, like, there's so many things that you get excited about that aren't going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's when you kind of write and let them go, right? And let the world do whatever they're going to do with them and move
on to
the next
one. Which isn't hard for me. Yeah, that part's not hard for me. I'm done with the song before I'm done it.
You,
like,
have
honestly,
to be, right? Yeah. I guess you have to really, because you know what the song's about, and you might hold it for a different project and stuff like that, because if the time doesn't feel right and it doesn't suit that project, you don't use it. But that's what you kind of do. It's like, that's what you're living in the moment. That's what you're feeling in the moment. You write the song in the moment.
Yeah,
that's exactly where it is, I think, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about writing Heart of It, because this one is so special too. And so many people can relate to this one. But again, you've got that deep soul. And so I always can count that there's going to be a message in there that we all can really dive into. It's never superficial with you. And that's what I love about your writing.
Thanks.
Honest conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, I try not to let it be superficial. I mean,
not at all. Like, you nail the message, and you make sure that you're doing it in a way that is not surface level. You're evoking people to think.
Yeah.
that's important.
Even if you're not thinking about it, I just, you know, if that song comes on, it should make you feel something. And with mm-hmm. Heart of It, we had two options. The song's about, it's about like being confused in a relationship where you're like, well, are we gonna be something or is this gonna fizzle out, right? Are we mm-hmm. burning or just burning out? It's a line of that song. And
people get wrapped up, I guess, in their day-to-day, and it's so easily done, and you hear so many people talk about it. And it's not until you sit down and say, what am I missing? What are we missing? What aren't we doing together? You know?
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, mm-hmm. too, it's like, you know, this was written from a story where a buddy was, he had a long distance relationship because he was in Nashville and she was in, I want to say BC or something. And it was cool and they really liked each other, but he was really more in Nashville than anything, back and forth, trying to be more in Nashville. And she, you know, had a career and stuff. And so it was like, okay, well, this is fun. But they just hadn't had the conversation. Mm-hmm. They were just sort of like going with like how things were going, and it was all good, but it was complacent. And at a certain point, like you have to have that awkward conversation of like, okay, like this hasn't completely fizzled up, but are we gonna let it? Mm-hmm. Or are we gonna actually try and like make, you know, like adjust our lives to make this work? And I think that's really where the song came from.
I think is such a huge message. I think even more than you realize. A huge message. Yes. Because so many people will be in a relationship, in a marriage, right?
Yeah.
And just go through being roommates and somehow letting it slip, like you're saying. Like, do we just leave it, let it fizzle out, where somebody ends up doing something that they shouldn't because they're looking for more? It's just that if they paid attention, like you're saying in this song, have the conversation sooner than later. Be honest about where you stand, what you're looking for. Then you can make that honest decision without hurting anybody.
That's cool.
And so many of these marriages that's, you know, people get devastated and blindsided and hurt because there's no communication about it. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. And we had two ways of doing it. We could have either, because there's really like, it's really that kind of, it's either the red pill or the blue pill sort of question. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, either we make this like kind of a sad thing or, and honestly, like when we were writing it, I kind of was already, you know, in like more up-tempo land, like vibing with it, but I could have very easily in production turned that
into the other way.
A very, like a more like, just more of like a darker down-tempo R&B thing. Like the tempo would have been technically like the same, but more of, like a darker kind of thing. And so it's like to your point earlier, like make people think and stuff. And it's like, well, if you're listening to it and you're going to get like what you've gotten out of it, which is like,
exactly,
you know,
everybody's going to pull something different. Yeah. It depends on what they're going through. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're just, you know, chill and listening to a playlist, like what feeling do I want to, you know, really evoke, musically, like to that lyric. And again, like there's a couple, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can produce that song, but really at the core of it, like there's two kind of options. Either it's bumping and it's exciting because that's what the relationship, that's what you want out of it ultimately. And what it also does in production, it allows, like, production can create a subtext, right? So
that's what you did with this when you did the banjo, you know, upbeat.
So gotcha. it's creating kind of like a subtext, because there isn't really a moment in the song where I'm like, I want to further this. It's just saying, are we doing this or are we not? It's a it's the question's kind of open-ended, so that layer of production creates a, it kind of slants you into believing that, like, I want the optimistic
right? That's what I mean. You chose the better part of what it could be and what it should be and what it can be,
because I think that's like a message that I feel more excited about putting out.
Me too.
And I think that's just more of a like, you know, maybe if I was in that, you know, if I was in a relationship and I wasn't feeling great about it, I was sort of feeling locked in and like I just didn't see a future with them, but I was like, whatever, then I would have gone a different direction with that song. And and, you know, so
that's, you're giving people hope. You're talking about hope and inspiring people to say, okay, you know, this is where you might be, but what are you going to do about it? You know, what can you do about it? You always have options. If you want to save it, you will. If you don't, then, you know, you're having that honest conversation with that person.
It's a hard one. It's a hard one to have. I feel
depends on what the listener's going through. Everybody's going to pull something different. And you, sometimes when you're writing stuff like this, I'm sure you're hearing it, because I know I've heard it on certain songs, go, man, I never even thought of that. You know, when I'm listening to somebody else and what they took from that story. And it'd be completely the opposite to anything that you wrote the song about. It's just amazing what people will pick out of a lyric.
I think it's super cool how you interpret it and like that marriage side of things. I mean, yeah, definitely.
Huge. That's why I sat there and went, perfect song. Perfect song.
Yeah.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is the single Heart of It by award-winning country artist Dustin Bird here on Music's Journey.
Time that you're over, swear we're getting closer. But then a week goes by without so much as a hug. It's just our routine, but lately it's confusing. I think there's feelings to catch if we're both down for that. We could leave it right where it's at, or we could get down to the
the single Heart of It by my very special guest, singer, songwriter, and producer, Dustin Bird. Don't forget you can download your copy of Heart of It on all your streaming platforms. You can download it and share it on all your playlists. You can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. Such a cool song. Always are challenging the genres of music today, and that's what I love about your creative mind, your creative heart. You got such a deep soul, and I love that part about you. You are such a creative genius. You really are.
I don't know about that.
No, you are. Dustin, I'm telling you, you are so underrated on who you are, and your time's coming. Your time is coming because you are such a special soul, and you are so talented in more ways than you haven't even started to tap into that, as far as I'm concerned. I just love to see you 10 years from now, just to see what you're capable of. And just be in a room with you when you're songwriting. I would love to see that.
Yeah,
just love to see that perspective that you have.
It's well, the songwriting stuff is fun. I mean, just ask some of the co-writers. Like, I mean, I get, like, the other day.
I hear it from so many people. We talk about you all the time on the show.
Oh, really?
Yes, we do. Because a lot of the people that you've written with, you've co-written with, have been on this show in the last couple months, that, you know, you're writing with so many different people. Nashville, too. You've got that partnership there. Man, you are doing, do you ever take the time to ever take a look at what your accomplishments are so far? Because I'm going to remind you.
It's a good question.
You need to be reminded of what you've actually accomplished.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's weird. I just try and... Because, I'm very, very emotionally, like, susceptible to changes like that. And I don't like it. I don't, you know... I recognize that about myself, that, like, if something does super well, whether it's on TikTok or whatever... And
is that how you look at anywhere. Success?
Well, it's just, you know, it's I like TikTok specifically, no, but I mean, like,
no, but if something does well, is that how you measure it?
I mean, it's kind of like part of it. I mean, it's there's kind of like bigger goals. I mean, ultimately, like, the goal is just to build freedom, you know, and I think that's what everyone's really trying to do, is just, you know, create freedom in your life. And but I mean, with steps along the way, you know, because there's vanity in it. Being an artist, there's vanity and there's narcissism.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know,
for sure. But if you're writing to just touch people, to touch yourself in a moment, that's the grounding that you need. I mean,
I really just focus on, like, or at least I try to just focus on, like, the stuff that I'm making and the music and just, like, when I'm writing. That part of it's pretty easy for me, because I don't have to think about it to get immersed most of the time but when stuff, like, when I look at, like, accolades, when I look at, like, stuff that's doing well, when I look at, you know, big numbers or whatever, if I immerse myself in that for any length of time, it affects me.
I can see that,
and the fluctuations of it affect me as well. No matter how conscious I am of, like, how I'm feeling, no matter how much I check in with myself, it's still there, and that can affect creativity. That can affect, like if I sit down to do a track and I felt that, like, I mean, because I'm always, you know, working, and so I'm like, okay, so I, you know, I feel the effects of like this growth, or, you know, these, or whatever, and I acknowledge it, and I'm like, okay, that's a good boost or something, and, like, okay, I gotta, like, check myself in that. And then I sit down to work, and I'm totally just distracted, and I'm like, I can't get my head in it. And that happens specifically with social media, because that is, like, there's kind of, like, long-term immersion with that. Like, I mean, if you know, your notifications are flooded and all that, like, that's, you're in there a lot, especially if you're trying to engage with people, because that's the human side that I like. It's like engaging with people and whatever. Well, then you're also seeing the numbers. You're also, you know, watching
that. It's important to you. Yeah, it's important to you to see that you've touched people.
Yeah, and right? So that, like, that side of it, like, if I had the option, I would just talk to people and not look at any of the other stuff, like any of the analytics, any of the other stuff, because it's not conducive to, like, good creativity. Because, I mean, what does that have anything to do with
the song that you wrote? Yeah, I'm going to challenge you here. Okay, so talk about Heart of It. So if you look at it, what you're saying, and then look at the song, what you're hoping people are going to get from that is opening up that conversation, right? Allowing yourself absolutely. To be vulnerable. At the same time, you're opening yourself up to be vulnerable through social media. And what you're saying is, I could do without that and just remember and focus that I'm writing a song about a message that I think people can appreciate and apply to their lives, and leave it there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go without social media. See, no. I like the impact of it. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that it's connecting with people. I just can't do the numbers game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're writing this and you challenge yourself to say, okay, I got to remember this, you know, every time you are going down that path, and you find yourself, you know, being swallowed up a little bit, because that's going to happen in this career.
It does.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. I can't see how it wouldn't, right? Yeah. But that's something that you can remind yourself of and just challenge yourself in that moment, going, you know what? What did I want when I released this song? What did want people to feel when they released this song? Why did I write it?
It's true. And you know, that's the thing about socials and stuff. I mean, and I've talked to, like, you know, influencer friends, and they were way more popular than me and whatever about this. And you know, like, it really is just, I mean, you can rationalize it and, you know, bring it to, like, the forefront of your consciousness and really try and be aware. Mm-hmm. But no matter how much you do that, the...
You can't predict how someone is going to respond. It's the same as a relationship. You can't change anybody. You can't help them to see something. You can't, you know, stop those people that do get online. You can't.
Even like just how you feel, like how you respond, like, mm-hmm. like you're like, you know, it's like walking into, you know, if you walk into a party that you don't really care to be at, you know, if you're like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I guess I got to go to this party mm-hmm. and whatever. And you kind of just, you know, you've wanted to go home since you got there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you can be like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, be super optimistic about this party. I'm just going to like make the most of it. And I'm going to whatever, like you know, you could potentially turn the night around and have a good night. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, like you're going to be tired. Like at the end of it, like you're going to, and that's just like the best analogy I can think of.
So it's like mentally exhausting.
It's mentally exhausting.
It yeah.
It's like, you know, no matter how much you try and like, you try and rationalize
you just have the to be situation. You just have to be you. And people love you for who you are or exactly, they don't. Yeah. And
so I try and just kind of limit like the impact that
it has.
Mm-hmm. That it has on me. But
I feel you. I understand that because you're like everything that you do as an artist and your writing and that vulnerability, that's where you're vulnerable. That's why writing is so important to you. And that's why you're so good at it, because you can tap into that side. But it's totally different to be in a social setting. And I'm like that. I'm really good here. I'm really good one-on-one. Big difference for me in a social room.
Yeah.
Right? Because I pay attention to who I'm talking to. I pay attention to their feelings. I tap into that. That's what you're doing with your lyrics and your songs and the stories that you hear from people. You're creating songs from that because you can feel what they're feeling. It's totally different to do when you're in a room full of people. You're not an extrovert that way.
No, I get
you're quiet behind the scenes like me.
I've definitely offended people at parties too. Like you know, quiet. Go out or something, and I just at a certain point, like I just get tired. I'm like sorry, like it, you know, somebody will be like talking about like their company or something like that, and I'll just like zone out, and I'll just be like, oh, sorry, like I just completely. What did you say? I was gone for like 2 minutes.
I get it.
You know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, or like, I've definitely been there. Your social battery gets drained. I've never been. I have friends who are incredibly proficient at socials, and like they're like.
But that's a desire.
It's just, I mean, whatever it is that attracts them to the masses, and they're just, you know, they put all they got into it, and it doesn't seem to. I mean, I know it's a lot of work and it's tiring, but it doesn't seem to. Fatigue them over the long term, and they seem to be able to.
It wouldn't, because they're extroverts. That's what they live off of, is the energy of other people.
Thrive on it.
Right. So you thrive on that quiet space where you can be creative. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the artistry in you. And that's the same. Like a lot of us creative people like to stay, you know, in that bubble where we can create and work and do things, you know, to help one another. And that's what you do when you're writing your songs. You're helping people. You may not realize that, but you really are.
And I think about that. Yeah, I think, you know, with Hating on Love, like, there was some really, like, profound stories that before the song even came out. Because I'd sent it to just a friend of mine in Saskatchewan. He's kind of a mentor, and I work with him on performance stuff and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it over to him.
And, what did he say?
I mean, he's an openly gay guy. I think he's like 61 now, so he's been openly gay for a while. And he was one of the ones with his story that was you know, one of the stories that inspired this. And so I sent it to him, and he was just like, you know, kind of in tears, and it was like it was a moment. and he was like, hey, like, can I share this with so-and-so or whatever, you know, a couple other people had done that same thing. Like, hey, can I share this with whomever?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, like, you know, just like, don't go crazy, but sure. Like,
see, you're touching, you have the ability to be able to put somebody's story that they've told you into words, something they can't mm-hmm. do and aren't able to do. And your gift
yeah.
to the world is that you can take a story and bring it to life, not just in the lyrics and the music, but in the production too. And that is an incredible talent. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really cool thing to say. I appreciate that. It's interesting. I mean, I think
that's how you have to look at it, because it's a gift and whether people can see it in a moment when you're standing in a room, that's not what you're about. It's not who you are. And it's in, you know, when you're in a room, it's just like you're there. You just have to remember who you are and trying to just stay with that. And, you know, whether or not you set a time that you're there for and just do it that way, because, you know, it's your creative flow is different. And there's so many people that are exactly the same as you, you know, that are creative that way. I know I am that way. I can be really great, you know, when it comes to working interviews, doing live TV, doing all that stuff. That's what I'm good with. But, you know, for me to get into a social setting where it's just a party and cocktails and going around, it's a different side of you, right? It just depends on the room. If it's people that you don't have anything in common with, it's hard for you to gel that way. But
I find it like, it just depends on where I'm at. Like, I mean, sometimes I'm great with it. You know, sometimes it's just a lot. I mean, I'm very, like I said, like, I'm very, like, emotionally susceptible to, like, changes like that. And both with successes and numbers and social situations and all that. It's just a sensitivity thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I've just kind of, like, and I still continue to kind of learn.
As you go. Yeah. You'll learn the skills, like, that you can use when you're in those situations that, you know, won't be as stressful for you, right?
No,
because there's a lot that you can do when you're in those situations. And I've had to work myself through that. I remember I used to speak nationally, and then I started speaking internationally, and I would speak to, you know, rooms of 365, all age groups, all over the place, you know, people talking and stuff like that. And I would remember just shaking from my knees, from my feet, right up my lips, my head, everything would quiver. Five minutes later, I'd be fine.
Because
you always have to remember, you're speaking on what you love. So you're in that room doing what you love. And that is songwriting and listening to people and introducing yourself to network, sure. But other than that, you're home. Is when you're writing and you're creative and in a studio and working with people one-on-one or a group writing session.
Yeah.
That's where you live. That's who you are. And that's a beautiful thing.
I think you're absolutely right. And I really appreciate it. I think, you know, with the artists that I get to work with, like, I've learned a lot, you know, cause it's a different thing. Like, producing somebody else, I tend to, when I produce, like, I produce, mm-hmm. you know, I don't, somebody sends me a song and they're like, hey, like, you know, artists have done this before, they'll send me a song and be like, hey, like,
you're not, you know, gonna, like, give it a one over,
I like what you did on this or something, can you, you know, want to produce this song for me? And I'll be like, okay, like, I mean, unless it's like a absolute 100% like hit or something, but, like, you know, it's usually like, okay, well, I mean, it's kind of cool here and maybe we could do something like this with it or whatever. And every time I've done that, and I mean, this has been a while since stuff like that, but every time I've done that, it's just met with, like, oh, well, I liked it the way that it was. So can you just do that? It's like, well, no.
You came to me.
Yeah.
This is what I'm asking. Yes.
Yeah. And so, and on top of that, I mean, yeah, like, producing, you know, one-off single is fine,
mm-hmm.
but
You don't want to be that kind of producer.
It's just kind of like, because I mean, a lot of the time it's met with a slew of requirements. You know, we mm-hmm. well, I want to have this done by this date because I'm trying to do like a radio thing, and I'm trying to, you know, hit all these points. And what I always, and especially with like newer artists, independent artists, whatever, it's like, well, hold, like, what's your purpose for all this? I mean, what are you really driving towards? Like, what are you trying to accomplish here? Mm-hmm. And then those questions, you know, almost always we can get to like good answers and stuff, but the problem is, you know, if I don't have a close working relationship with them, it doesn't, those conversations, they might as well not have happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, what I've learned through being able to work closely with artists is that we can really like change the direction of their music. We can get in touch with who they are. We can touch more fans than they've ever been able to connect with before. Mm-hmm. We're able to resonate with industry in ways that the music hasn't resonated. We're able to make them more satisfied with what they're doing than mm-hmm. ever before, and more excited about doing more stuff regardless of the outcome. That is like,
that's your goal. That's your goal. Yeah. And that's how you see production, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a full thing. I mean,
package for you.
It's so important. Like, if a song of mine goes out with bad cover art, I hate it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. If a song that I produce goes out like with anything that isn't like great, that we, you know, or reflective of like,
it's a part of your branding, right? It's a part of your branding, because when you do something, you're putting your whole heart and soul into it, and that's how you work. And so when somebody's coming to you and saying, I don't want that, I just want you to...
Then I'm like, I ain't the guy. Like there's a... And plus, I'm probably too expensive for that kind of thing. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of people,
that will do that, yep.
You go to Nashville, you can get a track for like $1,000-$1,500, mm-hmm. you know, and it'll serve your purposes. You know, if your purposes are just you want to get this song done because you think it's the best thing in the world, go to Nashville, get it done for cheap, or there's people, you know, here that get it done, whatever, bing bang boom. I mean, they'll put you through the system. It's sort of a plug and play sort of thing. You just, you know, get the mm-hmm. same players, the same sort of thing, put your voice on it, boom, done, easy. That's like, first off,
it's just not how you work. And
it's not how I do it, and I'm not as good at that stuff. Like there's like guys like who do that all the time are better mm-hmm. than me at that, because they do that all the time. So I'm not only is it not how I work, it's I'm not even the best at it. So why would I do it? So I think there's like it's like a more boutique approach. It takes more time and energy, and I really like the exploration process, and mm-hmm. And you know, I'm learning about the artist with the artist, and we're learning about like the sound, like this artist that I'm working with, Sarah Wickett. She is bridging the gap between like Punjabi, like Indian music, and country music.
Oh,
and
wow.
Sort of through this like, you know, kind of pop bridge. It's very cool. And she approached me with this project like, I want to say like a year ago. And I was just like, because she didn't have this, I mean, she had some songs, but she wasn't like, hey, like, these are the songs. It was just like, hey, I think it'd be kind of cool to explore something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, okay, sick. I have no idea what that is, but okay.
You're learning as you go, yeah.
I'm like, that's so exciting. Like, that's so cool. Because, I mean, she's, you know, she's, like her boyfriend is Indian, and she started learning about, you know, his culture, and started learning the language, and like posting this stuff on TikTok, and she built like this following on Instagram and TikTok and stuff around this. And you know, he's learned about like her culture, and she really started in country music, and so these worlds like in her life have come together. Mm-hmm. and so it's like, great, like how do we
combine
do that?
The two. Yeah,
and it's such a, I mean,
That's like, what I mean. She's picked the right person. She's picked the right person to do that with. Right?
Thanks.
Because you're good at that. You love to explore and you love to try and do new things. And like, this is like right up your alley because that's what you love. Yeah. That's what you thrive
on.
It
really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, with that stuff, it's like, you know, I don't want to put something out unless it's 100%. So exactly. Something like that, like, takes a lot. Like, that took way more hours than, like, you know, if you were to come to me and be like, hey, like, I just want something like that's going to work for radio. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. But like, she's like, you know, I want to do this. I'm like, okay, well, like, crack open the textbooks.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, it's just like a whole hallelujah moment to you because it's just like everything's opening up for you to be creative and to explore and learn.
Yeah. Also to mess up because you could really, really quickly mess up. I mean, it's a lot of, you open up that can of worms and it gets like, you know,
is it going to work or isn't it? But you don't know until you try.
You don't know until you try. You don't know until you put stuff in the session and you throw sounds in and you explore. And also like the songs themselves and those have to be great. Those need to be themselves communicating what we're trying to communicate. And the music needs to play off of that. We need to be constantly, you know, riding that line.
I said, you're always going to challenge. You're always going to challenge.
It's exciting.
I can count on it. So tell us about your new single that's coming out right now. So that's The Love I Like. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I'm excited for you to hear this one. I'm curious to see how you're going to interpret this too. Now that I know that you're thinking deeply about these songs like this and stuff. At the core of this song, it's about a relationship that just feels intuitive. You don't need to necessarily say anything to know how that person's feeling, for them to know how you're feeling.
You get each other.
You just get it.
You just get each other. Very cool.
Doesn't even need to be, you know, I mean, this is a framed up like romantically. But it doesn't need to be that.
No,
friend, family member.
Yeah, it's just like where two people can sit quietly in a room together and not have to speak. I like my quiet. I do like that too. But it's just like if I'm sitting in a room, say I was on a date.
Oh yeah.
Right, kind of thing. You want to have the conversation flowing. So, but some people just don't need that because they just are so comfortable in their own skin. They're so comfortable with each other. They know that they get each other, that words don't even need to be spoken. That's a pretty special love. That's pretty cool.
Oh, it really is. And that's what that song's about. And it's fun. I mean, it's got a great bass line. I mean, there's, you know, I co-produced it with Aaron Wagner, who I also co-produced Heart of It with. Because I finished both those songs around the same time. We weren't even really sure which one was going to come out first. I think I wrote The Love I Like as a solo thing before I wrote Heart of It. So I think we thought it was going to come out first. But I think The Love I Like is just like a larger sound, I guess you could say. It's like like Heart of It is tighter. And more
I get what you're going. I kind of get where you do this now because The Love I Like is you're building that up because that is something that is special. It's grand, right? It's something that you look for and search for your whole life and you dream of your whole life is to have that kind of love.
It's just, yeah.
I get how you do this now. Very cool. I get this. See, I could sit in a room and work with you, no problem.
Totally, yeah. it really is. I mean, it's not,
Cool. Very cool. Yeah,
it's an exciting song.
I love this. I love this idea. See, I told you, I always know that there's going to be an amazing song that comes from you every single time. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the brand new single, The Love I Like, by my very special guest, award-winning country artist, Dustin Bird, here on Music's Journey.
love our life. Without end, it's like her nature just comes secondhand. And I'm obsessed with trying to understand what makes us us.
The new single, The Love I Like, that is out right now by award-winning country artist Dustin Bird. And you can get it on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist, and you can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. Very cool.
It's been a minute since I listened to it, too, so I don't mind hearing it, too.
I bet. Yeah. I bet, because you're always way ahead, right?
Yeah, I get done with it so quick. We got more stuff. I'm trying right now. My darndest to get a lot of music done. I mean, I've got so much stuff like just sitting there, like in the hard drive that is in finals. I think there's like 7 songs in the final stages of production that like the label hasn't even heard, you know.
Very cool. Give you a big hug and let you know how wonderful you are.
I appreciate it. There's not a lot of other shows though. I'm in Nashville a lot this summer, and so I'm really focused.
You're busy on the writing and production.
Gosh dang, yeah. Gosh dang, am I ever? It's nonstop. I mean, I tell you, like I don't sleep. Like she's working on this song. Some people on TikTok have been liking Canadian Made, and just working on that. And I think I finished it last Thursday night at like 7 in the morning.
Oh gosh, you and I are too much alike. Way too much alike.
You do that?
That's why I understand. Yeah, such a pleasure. Such a pleasure talking to you. And I always learn something new. Always learn something new from you. You're just such a brilliant light in this industry, and we really appreciate you.
Thanks.
So I hope you know that and how talented you are. I look forward to having you back. So we will do that very soon, because I'm sure there's going to be something else coming down the pipe. So this is a great new song. So congratulations. Congratulations on this one.
Thanks
very cool.
So much.
Very
much appreciated. Yeah.
We will talk really soon and have you back on the show. All right. Thank you so much, Dustin. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist and producer, Dustin Bird, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing The Commoners, Aaron Allen, Jason Benoit, Madeline Merlot, Tim Hicks, Griffin Palmer, David Boyd James, Tegan Gaze, Jake Hoot, winner of The Voice, is back with another special song. I've got Mike Whiteside, Jade Eagleson, The Heels, New Moon Junction, Brittany Cannell, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock Icons Lighthouse, Rock Icons The Stampeders, Ty Wilson, Harmonies, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so much more. Don't forget you can catch all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Music's Journey Show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.